Peace of the Lord be with you. Before we begin today, two quick announcements. So much going on here at Hope, around the world. I want to make sure we don't lose focus that this week is also a civil rights celebration week. And right after chapel at 11 o'clock at the Anchor, there'll be a celebration commemorative walk for the civil rights movement. We invite everyone who is able to take the time. If it's too cold, grab a hat, bring some gloves, and show up right outside, right after chapel at 11 o'clock. Also, there was just another earthquake in Haiti. So just throughout the day, be praying for our brothers and sisters in Haiti, the Haitians, the relief workers, the NGOs, everyone trying desperately to bring relief to people there. And third, many of you have asked about if there is going to be services held for David and for Emma. And yes, there will be. The logistics are still to be determined. We're still waiting for some leads on some families, with David's family overseas. There's just lots of things we're still trying to figure out. But as we get information, we will let you know on how that is being coordinated, largely with student development and the international students in campus ministries. So as we have more information about that, we'll be letting you know. Also, just to know that there is a book. If anyone wants to write memories at all or stories for David or for Emma's family, there is a book in the student lounge of the Martha Miller Center for David's family. And for Emma's family, there's a book in the student lounge of the Student Development Center. And we encourage you to go to that. And also, the January 27th issue of The Anchor will be dedicated to Emma and to David. So if anyone has a picture or a story, you can send it to the editors at The Anchor to be included in that edition. My friends, this is just a heavy, heavy week, and it's hard to know what to do and what to feel, and all the questions kind of swirling around. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do, that if you did know David and Emma, is to talk about them, to share your stories, to remember who they are and what they were about. I also want to encourage you, if you're wondering what to do or what to feel, not pressure to do or to feel anything. But one of the things that we do is we gather together. This is a time when it's really important not to have a virtual community, but to have a real community, one we can hold each other. And I want to encourage, like, what we're doing now matters. It may not seem like it, but we come together and we look each other eyeball to eyeball. And we can just sit together, and we can pray together, and we can sing together, and we can listen to the Word of God together. For to us, the Word is more than just a dusty book. This is the Word of life, and it is a compass unto us right now in a time of grief. And so as we come to listen, we come to listen to what God might want to speak to us anew now, a Word of life, a Word of light in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen? Amen. I want to invite our preacher this morning, one of our own, a 2007 Hope College graduate. She's a middle year at Western Theological Seminary. Our beloved intern, Kristen Livingston, will be giving them. Give her a warm Hope College welcome. Lord, we pray that your word to us would be a compass, pointing us in the right direction. Give us ears to hear what you have to speak through your daughter, Kristen. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Trig. There's a greeting and a blessing that I really love, and I use it with my friends, and I'm wondering if we could begin that way together this morning. Someone begins and offers a prayer, "The Lord be with you," and then whoever's gathered prays it back, "and also with you." So the Lord be with you. Amen. The word of God comes near to us this morning in the book of Genesis, the book you've all been lingering in this last semester. It begins in chapter 28 and starts at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and went to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring, the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and all of your offspring shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have accomplished all that I have promised to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. The spirituality of the Celtic tradition has a word for this kind of encounter, for this kind of a story. The Celtic Christians would call this experience that Jacob had a thin place. Thin places describe locations where heaven and earth seem to come unusually close, where the boundaries aren't so distinct, and the air, the atmosphere is permeable, is thin. And I like this impulse of thin places for a couple of reasons. For one, it speaks of God's imminent presence in our lives. But it also suggests, with this regularity of God's breaking into our lives, the utter unpredictability of when this will happen. The move of the Spirit of God does break into our ordinary places and into our quiet places. And from all we can tell in this story, Jacob was not expecting God to come speak to him. He had just fled from his brother and finds himself alone in this place. And the word says that Jacob comes to this unknown place, and it's sunset, and he's alone. And so he lays down to sleep. Jacob closes his eyes to the darkness of the world and the darkness of all of his life around him. And as he sleeps, he dreams. And he dreams of this fantastic vision of this ladder that reaches from earth all the way to heaven. And there's angels coming up and down all along this ladder. And behold, God stands at the top of this ladder. And then God speaks to Jacob, and God says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. And then God continues speaking to Jacob. He speaks at length to him. He says, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. God promises Jacob a land and a people. But this is Jacob. This is Jacob, the crafty one. He just stole his brother's birthright. He's running away. He's stubborn. He's feisty, and we'll learn later that he is the one that will wrestle all night long with God. But yet, even with all that, Jacob is in a very vulnerable place, completely alone in this wilderness land, asleep. And Jacob does not speak at all in his dream. God is the one who is speaking to him directly. When Jacob does come out of his sleep, though, he realizes his dream life and his waking life have melted together, and he proclaims, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. You see, God is the initiator, the one who calls forth to Jacob, even though Jacob doesn't seem to be looking for him. God is the one who seeks out Jacob, and God is the one who seeks out all of us. From this vision of the splendor and glory of the Lord and the joining together of heaven and earth, we catch a glimpse of the promise of all things being made right. And for this we long, right? We all long for a day where we don't mourn the death of our friends, and we long for the day where we can have communion with all people and where earthquakes don't shake poor countries. We long for peace in the world, and we long most of all for God's nearness to us. This longing for communion is indeed why we pray, Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just as God spoke these words of nearness and hope to Jacob, so God speaks these to you. I am the Lord. I am with you, and I will not leave you. The reality of this thin place is that Christ is our ladder. He himself raises us up into the life of Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Surely, Hope College, the Lord is in this place, and we did not know it. Let us pray together. God of all nearness and comfort, thank you that you seek us out and speak a word of grace to us. God, we pray that you would send out your word and heal us. Abide with us and lead us into all your ways. In Christ's name, amen. Go in peace.